I want to start off by reading in the beginning of Luke, please, and chapter 1 and verse 30. And the angel said to her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in the womb and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him the throne of David, his father, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob for the ages, and of his kingdom there shall not be an end." Over the page, chapter 2 and verse 8. "And there were shepherds in that country abiding without, and keeping watch by night over their flock. And lo, an angel of the Lord was there by them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they feared with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I announce to you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For today a Saviour has been born to you in David's city, who is Christ the Lord. And this is the sign to you: ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.'" I may read other scriptures, but I wanted to speak as to the greatness of the one that was born. Where we read, it speaks of the one who is to be called Jesus. And where we read, it speaks of him, it says, "He shall be great and shall be called Son of the Highest." This is the person that we present to you in the glad tidings this evening. The man, Christ Jesus. The one who has left the heights of glory to take on a bondman's form, to be here in the likeness of man, and to accomplish God's holy will. Not only his holy will, but every righteous obligation the Lord Jesus took upon himself. What a wonderful Saviour he is, that he should be found in this way, coming in such lowliness, such grace. We know the story very well. We hear it probably every year. But nonetheless, it's good to hear as to the incoming of the Lord Jesus again. Because we were speaking about love in our reading, and if anything that is going to promote love, it's the story, it's the message that is found in the glad tidings as the incoming of Jesus. A simple woman, Mary, nothing really attaches to her other than the fact it said she found favour with God. And so much so that she was a vessel that God could use to bring forth the person of Jesus. "Thou hast found favour with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in the womb and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." There's never been an incoming like that. There's never been one born in such a way as this. Mary didn't know a man in the natural sense. The Holy Spirit came upon her, overshadowed her. And that is how the Lord Jesus came into this world. Through the woman Mary, but brought into this scene through the working of God's ordering, that he should be brought in a way that even the youngest can understand. A babe born of a woman and placed in a manger. Nothing could be more striking in one way. The Son of God brought into the earth as a babe and laid in a manger. Why a manger? As we're told, there was no room in the inn. Man had no time even for the incoming of Jesus. Before they'd heard any message as to him, there was no room for the Saviour. So I just appeal to each and everyone here. Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your affections for such a one that has come this way? He shall be great and shall be called Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him the throne of David, his father. Straight away we're linked with the greatness of who he is. He shall be great and shall be called Son of the Highest. And yet, born into such humility, his parents were unknown. They had to go and be registered in the city of David at Bethlehem. They were unknown. They were just ordinary people. And you might say there was nothing particular to mark them out. And yet it says that Mary had found favour with God. What a wonderful testimony that she had, having found favour with God. Not only that, but the message to the shepherds, for behold, I announce to you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people, for today a Saviour has been born to you in David's city, who is Christ the Lord. What an announcement. What an announcement to hear. Again, the lowly shepherds were given that message. They weren't great personages. They weren't learned men. They were shepherds. And they were in the field, looking after their flock, looking after their sheep. And here they were given this message that it says, I announce to you glad tidings of great joy. Are our hearts filled with great joy when we think of the person of the Lord Jesus coming in this way? You say, well, I know he's exalted. Yes, he is exalted. God has highly exalted him, given him a name that which is above every name. And the scripture says, at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow, of heavenly and earthly and infernal beings. Even the demons will worship. And yet, dear hearer, you're invited in the gospel to bow your knee to the Saviour today. What an invitation! No invitation like it. And yet, maybe we bridle at the thought of bowing the knee. But then when you think about what the Lord Jesus has done, maybe find it a little bit easier to consider what he has done. Just reading on in the chapter 2, verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and pious, awaiting the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it was divinely communicated to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he should see the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And as the parents brought in the child Jesus, that they might do for him according to the custom of the law, he received him into his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now thou lettest thy bondman go according to thy word in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all peoples, a light for revelation of the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. That message of salvation underlined by one Simeon, filled with the Holy Spirit. What a prophetic word was given to that man as to the work on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Yes, that's the glory of the message. The person of the Lord Jesus in humility, sitting, walking, talking with thee. That's what he did for the woman at Sychar's well. He came and he sat just as he was. And he spoke to her. And he revealed to her the secrets of her heart. This is the Saviour that I present to you. The revealer of secrets. The sustainer of life. The one who delights to bless. In spite of us, in spite of what we are, the Lord delights to bless. And he would bless everyone here this evening. Delights to pour out his blessings upon you. Can you conceive of anything so great as to be the recipient of the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ upon you? Well, I'll just move on, because this was something that came to me today. And it's John chapter 21 and verse 15. When therefore they had dined, Jesus says to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He says to him, Yea, Lord, and knowest that I am attached to thee. He says to him, Feed my lambs. He says to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He says to him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I am attached to thee. He says to him, Shepherd my sheep. He says to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, art thou attached to me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, Art thou attached to me? And he said to him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I am attached to thee. Jesus says to him, Feed my sheep. Now, this finds us all out, every one of us here. Because although we were speaking in the reading today about God's love, and important it is too, that we have a real understanding and grasp of it, the God in turn wants to be absolutely sure of our attachment to the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who has poured out his precious blood at Calvary's cross, he's entitled, if I may use that expression, to know as to your affection for him. Are you attached to the Lord Jesus? That's what he desires. He desires attachment to himself. You think of what he's done. Not just going to Calvary's cross. I don't say it lightly, but he went to Calvary's cross. Why did he go there? He went there for me. He went there for you. He laid down his life for you. But he's taken it again for you as well. That where he is, you also might be. That was the message. John 14. He desires you to have that place with him. A place that he has won through obedience and through suffering and through love and through the shedding of his precious blood. What a message we have in the gospel. Message of God's heart of love. Message as to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has loved us, the one who has given himself for us, that we might know what it is to have perfect peace. He says, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, expecting something in return, but the Lord gives his peace to all those that obey him. All those that have put their faith and their trust in his finished work. What a work it is. A work of salvation that no one else could achieve. No one was perfect like Christ was. No one could tread this scene in perfect accordance with God's holy will. It makes us well up in praise and worship and adoration. To think of one who trod this earth in perfect accordance to God's holy will. No one like that ever, ever before. No one since. What a great saviour the Lord Jesus is. Cannot announce to you anyone else that you can put your faith and your trust in such a one as the Lord Jesus Christ. So these words that the Lord says to Simon Peter, they really came home to him. First of all, he just thought it was a question. Not exactly a random question, but a question. What are you attached to me? Quite a legitimate question for someone to ask of a friend. Are you attached to me? Do you love me? Yes, of course I do. You know I love you. So the message is, feed my lambs. Look after that which is precious to me. And then, I don't know whether it's a little while, but he then says, a second time, lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? That's a test for each one of us, isn't it? Lovest thou me? Anyway, Simon says, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I am attached to thee. Little bit hurt that he'd had to ask a second time, but he answered, grace, because he knew his master. He loved to tell the Saviour, yes, I love you. I know who you are. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. It doesn't actually say that, but that was what it was in his mind, I'm sure. And then he says to him, shepherd my sheep. So the lambs are shepherded, and the sheep are shepherded by one who knew what it was to be loved by the Saviour, by the chief shepherd, by the great shepherd of the sheep. He was one being told to minister to the flock by the great shepherd of the sheep. And Peter is willing and ready to do it. But then this comes a third question. Art thou attached to me? That really found Peter out. Art thou attached to me? Did it remind Peter of the fact that he denied the Lord three times? Maybe, I don't know. We're not told. But Peter just had no more to say. Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I am attached to thee. And then he said, Jesus says to him, feed my sheep. There we are, that was Peter's commission. To look after the sheep. To look after the flock of God. And he did so. And we're asked the same questions. Art you attached to me. Do you love me? That's what he's saying. Do you love all that I've done for you? I've taken you out of this sinful world and I put my spirit into you so that you may go through this scene in victory. Yes, as the Lord himself came into death, broke its power and came out victorious. And you, dear believer, can walk through this scene in victory, in the knowledge that Christ has dealt with Satan. He's vanquished him, and the Lord himself is alive to the ages of ages. And he wants you for himself. He wants you to be one that can say, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I am attached to thee. That's the message of the gospel. Amen.